Love Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Thursday, everybody. Thank God for another day of being here. Another chance to get together and discuss yet another important issue. And today we are standing at 12,874 listeners. So I want to thank the newcomers. I want to thank the people that are listening in, that are hitting the archives after work. Thank you very much. All right. Starting out with our shout-outs, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, currently with iPhoneRadio.com. You can hear him do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m., and if you like to party, he's the CEO of Track One Entertainment Company, responsible for all of those very classy R&B events in the classiest venues all over Brooklyn and Manhattan. And if you missed last Saturday, as I've been saying for the last 3 days, and that I meant last Wednesday, the 18th of September, you missed a hell of a show. I want to thank my team. I want to thank my listeners. I want to thank our little co-hosts on Saturday, all of you for contributing to making the show what it is. Thank you to PS37, Cynthia Jenkins School in Springfield Gardens, Queens, to Ms. Beverly Mitchell, Ms. Dory Robinson, Ms. Mackenzie Cameron, Ms. Fettuccini, Ms. Sancho, Ms. Abraham, all of you that are taking the time out to help promote youth empowerment, community empowerment, and family communication bridges. So I want to thank every one of you out there for doing your part in the midst of everything that we face today. All right. Everybody, today we're going to be speaking about Obamacare. Now, Obamacare debates are all over the place. They're in the newspapers, they're flooding your TV, your internet news, everything. The question today is the plan really as bad as the people who are opposing it say, or is this just another mudslinging fight between the parties? And you guys know exactly what I mean. Is whenever anything is involved with a president that's not a Republican president, we have issues. Whenever there's anything involved with, you know, high tax cuts being going to the rich, we have problems. But not all the time it's just a mudslinging event. But really, this one here, this particular plan, is it a good plan overall? Regardless of what every plan has, there's always a pro and a con. Are the cons as bad as these people who are opposing it say? Or is it something that overall will benefit the country in a way that it hasn't before? So tonight's topic is let's talk Obamacare. I'm going to go to break, and when I come back, we will get these discussions underway. Be back.
Giving up control, it's clear that it's something you just don't know.
call it compromise. They call it compromise. Setting up your defense, playing it so damn hard to get that you're let down. Can't nobody hurt you now. I had them all chick after chick, and I let them go when they said commit. You couldn't tell me, just what I was missing. Oh,
too many hurts, too many feelings.
Shouldn't be easy just to say I'm changing, I'm walking away.
Obamacare, everybody. All right. This country's economy is in hell. You know that. Everybody is aware of it. We're feeling the crunch. One of the things that we have always had a problem with, even before the economy went boom, was plenty of people have problems with getting health care, affordable health care, proper health care, not restricted health care. And there were certain groups I didn't qualify. There were certain people who needed to have a certain amount in order to get certain benefits. Well, because of that, you all know that we have been hit with quite a few epidemics over the years, from the swine flu to, you know, another type of flu to some sort of outbreak. AIDS became an issue, all sorts of things. And with people without health care that were able to be carriers, could not be treated or couldn't afford to be treated. So in the end, the country wind up getting into big widespread stuff. So Obama now made a mandatory thing where people must have health care. So he made it to the point where now it has to be affordable. Okay, well, with a bunch of the pros and cons, as with any new project, okay, any new business, any new concept, there's a good and a bad side to everything. Now, we also know how this goes. Democrats versus Republicans versus liberal parties, all of them have something against the other. You know, one party represents one type of scenario, then we have the other side representing the other half, and there's always headbutting up there in the big old office. And usually what happens is that when these two groups of chest puffing people get together, the little people get hurt. The little people get hurt. Now, in all of the articles and the debates and the the internet listings and the opinions and the viewpoints that I've seen, and with all of everybody listing Obamacare facts, there has been quite one, there's been one common factor that I have seen among it all. Through all of the window dressing points that they've made, through all of it, the bottom line is employers, big rich businesses are pissed off. Insurance companies are ticked off because this is the way it works. In order for this to have effectiveness, higher taxes will be imposed to those that make more money, okay? Insurance companies definitely don't like it because whatever crooked practices that they had or whatever unfair practices to people holding their policies had to deal with, Obamacare takes all that away. Insurance companies cannot drop you because you have a pre-existing condition or get sick. Okay? They must include certain things that they normally at one point had taken off, like preventive treatment, for example, preventive medicines. I know that when my insurance plan changed, there were plenty of amendments they made to not include basic things. They tried to push it and say, you know what, it's over the counter so you can get that on your own, when most of what we were going through anyway was for people who are in financial need, and this type of health care was designed for that group. So if that's the case, there's very few of anything that a lower income person can get on their own. And the other thing was they started imposing copays on the lower income people, small copays, but for some people even the smallest things are too big. So now we do have our first panelist on the line. I want to bring them in and find out what they feel about the situation. Those of you that have a story, an experience, an opinion on this matter, please call in at 347-327-9967. Press number 1 and the radio server will allow us to speak. So let's get going. Let's start with our first panelist for the evening.
Yeah.
Welcome to the On the Edge show, caller. You're on the air?
Yada.
Hello? Okay, we'll bring you back in a minute.
Hello?
Welcome, caller. Yes, hello?
Hi, Katie. Lady Diamond, how are you?
How are you? Hi. Okay, we have another panelist, so hang on, Lady Diamond. Welcome, caller. You're on the air?
Yes, you do.
Hello.
Good evening. How
are
you doing?
Hi. I need you to speak up just a little bit, okay?
Hello, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes. I need you to speak up just a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Tonight, guys, we're talking about Obamacare, all right? And the question that I have is the plan itself overall beneficial to the economy and to the country, or is the concerns that are being voiced about this legitimate concerns that have nothing to do with the usual political partisan mudslinging that they do whenever one side does something the other side doesn't stand for? So I'll start with you, Lady Diamond, and then I'll go over to our other guests.
Well, I have, like, mixed feelings towards it. But one thing is, I mean, Obamacare, it has to be affordable, that's one. And it has to benefit everyone, those who really, really need the health insurance. There are millions of people out there that they don't have insurance, cannot afford it. And if this pans out for them, then this could be their ticket of actually getting the right health care that they need. If it's not affordable to them, and if it's not recommended for them to take, then it could be a problem.
Okay. And to you, Charles.
Well, I wasn't certain exactly what was inside the bill. Because anyone could tell you it's a very big bill. And I wasn't sure. But I did know that this is the richest country in the world. And there's no reason why anyone should go without any kind of insurance, health insurance. I suggest to every person who's listening talk to your doctors and to get your doctor's opinions about what the health bill, what this health bill is, and let them tell you what it is rather than be nervous and get scared listening to these talking heads on these TV shows. You know the shows, Fox 5 and those shows like that, who try to scare you. Don't be scared. Ask questions. Ask your doctors questions and see what they're talking about, because the doctors wouldn't know more than anybody else, you know? I don't think that it will hurt anyone. I think that we should give it a try and see what happens.
Funny that you said those words, because when I posted the pre-broadcast topic question, that's exactly what one of my responders said. That either way, give it a shot. And I'm gonna say something. This has nothing to do with my personal preference for any president or who I voted for or anything. It has to do with the fact that in all of my history of being a comprehensive adult, or even starting to understand anything about presidential leadership as a teenager, I have yet to have seen a president that has actually tried to sit in and actually tackle healthcare problems. I'm not talking about, you know, imposing Medicaid and Medicare and things like that. I'm talking about actually addressing healthcare on a whole. The thing is that now, in the past, I'll say 4 to 5 years, there have been so many outbreaks of weird diseases that have hit America. And let's talk about the swine flu, how that just killed people. Okay, and there were a lot of Americans who had no health care, either because they were an immigrant, or they were you know, not able to afford certain types of insurance, or for those that could afford it or squeeze out from their budget something like private insurance. The private insurance that had like the gold package, they couldn't afford that, which would include everything. And then those that had private insurance had these high premiums. Now what this is, now let's overall summarize this care. Now, let me start with a few disturbing facts. In 2010, 16% of uninsured workers, I mean uninsured people, were actually full-time workers with dependents. In 2010, only 53.8% of private sector firms offered health insurance. And 15% of the population right now doesn't have health insurance. So what Obamacare is supposed to do is this. Everybody must have health care by 2014. I don't see, first of all, that point, what the hell could the problem be? Why would you want to walk around because you can afford insurance and want a bunch of other people who get sick, bring tuberculosis, whatever it is that can be communicable through the air, okay, or passed on through some other sort of contact, even if it's not sexual or whatever the case is. But why would you not want somebody who's sick like that to be treated to prevent other spreading problems? So that's one. That was one point about it. The other thing was, so many people can't afford it. He's made it to a point where it will be affordable to everyone. At some point or other, people who really can't pay will be exempt. People who can will have a small fee or a fee based on what they can afford. Okay, he mandated a certain time that would happen. And so, okay, what's the problem with that? I don't see one. Now,
the only problem that they really have, though, Katie, is that our priorities aren't correct. We can find money to do what we want to do, but we never seem to be able to find money for what we need to do. Healthcare is a necessity.
And I still do need you to speak up a little more, because I don't know why, but there's
saying healthcare is a necessity. It's a necessity. We can find money to get what we want. Healthcare is a necessity, and I hope that everyone, especially African American people, recognize that this is nothing other than scare tactics coming from the other side. Do not let them scare you into believing that this is something that's not going to help you. If you have children, if you have elderly parents, or you need health care. Everyone needs health care. Whether or not you go to a doctor or not, it's just good to have, because you never know what's going to happen.
Indeed, especially now. Now, one of the things I was thinking about that people aren't thinking about is this. The youth nowadays are a lot more bold, a lot more open, a lot more sexually active, and understand that this particular group in society doesn't have the maturity, okay, to deal with making sound decisions when they were in these activities. And since our country has put in a teen confidentiality law that requires that they can, not requires, but says that they're not required, I should say, to go to their parents to discuss having sex or things that come with it. They can go pick up condoms, have birth control, have abortions, take a pregnancy test, be treated for an STD in private. Okay, they don't need any parental consent, so understand that type of freelance behavior, all right, causes bigger things that they're not thinking about in the moment. So with that being said, a lot of those teens come from parents at one point that could not get health care, or Medicaid at one point was very restrictive. And one of the things I do know from having someone in my family work for an actual insurance companies will negotiate the hell out of a claim from a doctor and pay the doctors next to nothing. On the other hand, let's look at the con side of that. There are a lot of doctors out there that, because they know insurance will pay, will overpad the services. Like, they'll call a tongue depressor something that sounds, you know, medically fancy, as if it was something that you needed, but the insurance companies know the drill. So there's a constant fight with that because everybody wants their penny. But the bottom line is, every new concept, policy, business, anything has pros and cons. But I don't see anything in all of the research, and I've researched 18 articles. In all of the research, the bottom line complaints from those that oppose this really were the people who have to pay the higher taxes, because part of making this work is that people who can afford it have to pay a little bit more of the pie to fund this thing. The other problem is, which now brings another issue of concern, the people who are not part of corporation ownership, okay, who are not rich people, are being taxed by their employers, because the employers, rather than take their greedy selves to actually, you know, do their part to the community and pay the higher cut, okay, they're putting it off on their employers and charging them higher premiums for on-the-job insurance. So what happens? It makes the people who are getting these bills work hard for a living for these greedy people, okay, to be upset with the care plan. And that's the whole reason. So, like, everybody's blaming Obamacare, and they're not understanding that Obama didn't tell the businesses to cut your employees' hours. He said pay a little more of the pie. And if you're a business that is generating and flowing, no matter what you give out, you're going to make it back. And you need your workers to be healthy in order to make that happen. And like you said, nobody wants to do the find money for what they have to do. They only find things for what they want to do. And what I'm seeing here, based on all of these things, is that all of these higher up income people, all of these corporations, they're getting upset because this bill cuts into their want to do money. Mm-hmm. So, but with that being said, you're going to tax these hardworking people, okay, because you choose to keep your petty cash fund and your golf club funds and your yacht funds and your, you know, once-a-week vacation funds padded thick in your pockets rather than give a damn about the entire community, which affects you at some point. Obamacare is not the problem. The people not wanting to cooperate that can cooperate is the problem. There are people coming in. We are supposed to be the land of the free, so we're letting people in, and there are people that are walking around because the higher-ups are trying to close their eyes and push us in the corner and do whatever it is. The thing is that we get sick. So if you want us to roll over and die, there's still going to be germs coughed into the air before that happens. There are diseases coming out that if you should shoot somebody, it could go in the air because, you know what, blood spatters. So either way, no matter which way you do it, just go with the flow and do what you have to do. It's bad enough they're taxing people that's on disability with Medicaid-based private insurance HMOs are still getting taxed with co-pays that never existed before with low-income insurance. So how much more money do they need? Then I saw one, oh my God, I think I wanted to laugh, where now they're, the things that they pull out to make their theory stick. I'm a person that's all for a healthy debate, okay? I love a healthy debate. I love to hear two people have valid opposing arguments with valid viewpoints and, you know, let the chips fall where they may when you're in a debate. But when you start pulling out, you know, what I call suitcase fillers, meaning that you're afraid that you believe your point is strong enough, but, you know, to really secure that people will go your way, start throwing in little things to pad it. Okay, so here we go. Obamacare is a problem for jobs. It's making jobs be cut. What jobs? Because you're not talking about the fact that before Obama even got into office, we had an employment problem. And on top of that, every time new jobs opened, you didn't give it to Americans. You gave it outsourced to Japan and India and China, who, by the way, is out there working for cheap and sending us the most substandard products there is, killing our babies with faulty products. So Obamacare is not the problem for unemployment or for lack of jobs. That was one argument. Let me shut that one down. Number two.
That's a new one. I didn't hear that one before.
Oh, no, it's all there. It's all there. Some of these debates go back a couple of months because Obamacare was passed on March 23rd of 2010. So we have that argument that he's taking away jobs. Why is jobs being taken away? Because these greedy corporation owners don't want to pay higher tax cuts. So all I'm hearing is that the people who can do it don't want to do it.
Mm.
Okay? I'm not seeing where they've proven without a shadow of a doubt that Obamacare is bad for the nation. I'm not hearing it. I'm not reading it anywhere. Okay, now let's go to the next problem. Of course, the insurance companies are going to be upset. Why? Because Obamacare stipulates that insurance companies cannot deny people insurance or health care for pre-existing conditions, nor can they drop them when they get sick. Oh, boy, there goes half their money right there. Because Lord knows how many of their bank accounts were padded with all the unfair charges they were given and all the people they got to X out and let die on their own. So that was another thing. Now, then they went to the point of after trying to use jobs as a key, that didn't scare people enough into going away from the plan. Let's try this one. Obamacare, be warned, people. Obamacare mandates that in order for you to get care, okay, you must put in the RHID microchip.
So
no,
what?
He didn't say that. That little microchip that tracks all your personal data in your arm.
Oh, yeah, but it's like that either way.
What they are saying was that Obamacare's plan mandates that in order for you to receive care under that bill, you must put that chip in you. And that's not what it says, not at all.
Wow.
What it does say is that it's not a mandated requirement. However, they are allowing medical facilities to practice, you know, using that chip if people should so require. It's not a mandate thing.
Mm.
But the other side who don't want this bill to pass definitely stooped to that level and started sending viral emails to everyone stating that if Obamacare gets into play, you're going to be a microchip robot.
That's not true. I never heard of that before.
But, I mean, how nasty can you get? If you are saying all these things that concern the nation could happen because of this care, then why are you not standing on the merit of your own belief and fighting a fair fight?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people want to go out there screaming the race card, and this is not the premise for that today.
It's not.
This is strictly about the fact, I'm just going to say he's a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And Lord knows the Grand Ole Party don't want a Democrat in office.
Yeah.
No, I would go there. I would throw the race card in there because we have never had a black president. So, of course, that would be a factor. How could it not be? Yes, it is. I'll be the first to say it. Yes, it is. It's because he's a black man. Yeah.
And you're perfectly entitled to that, and I'm not saying I don't agree. I'm just saying that overall, period, if this was Bill Clinton right now passing the bill, and I believe he's a supporter, as a matter of fact.
Hillary Clinton tried to do the universal health care for us. That was actually like 2-3 years, and she tried to fight it out through her teeth, and then all of a sudden she got bought over.
Right. I'm saying that in this case, this bill pretty much benefits a lot of lower income communities.
Right.
Okay. And I'm saying that for sure. And what I'm seeing here is that they're leaning on the rich to help the poor, and there's a hot mess of songs being sung against that theory. Okay,
wow.
Now, I got a list of what's supposed to be the pros and cons. Somebody nicely and neatly categorized it in a little box. So now, the pros is tens of millions of uninsured people will get access to affordable health care. The con on that point, in order to get the money to help insure tens of millions, new taxes will be imposed mostly on high earners. So that was supposed to be a con, okay? I want you all to listen. Over half of uninsured Americans, this is a pro, can get free or low-cost insurance using their state's health insurance marketplace. The con, you have to obtain health coverage by January of 2014, get an exemption or pay a fee if you can afford it. That's the con. So far, nothing red flagging me.
Nothing.
All right. The pros. Medicaid is expanded up to 15.9 million men, women, and children below 138% of the poverty level.
Okay.
The con, Medicaid is expanded using federal and state funding. Not all states have to expand Medicaid. That doesn't sound still like a nation issue, except for the fact that if we're in a drain for funds because of this national debt as it stands, then having to use funds that we're already stretching to make it work might be a con, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, hello, rich people. Okay, the CHIP is expanded. I got to figure out what that is. I forgot about that one.
Oh, man, I forgot what that means. Hold on. It's going to take me a minute to remember. I remember studying this.
it was expanded to 9 million children, I believe it said. Let me read that again.
Yeah.
My font
is... I know it has to do with children, health. I know you'll find it.
Well, that's
child right. Health insurance. I'm getting there. You'll find it faster than me.
Well, that will be expanded.
That is the child health insurance. I know it has to do with that.
Okay. Well, that will be expanded to cover up to 9 million children. But the con is CHIP also uses federal and state funding. The pro, and this one is the big wig of the insurance company, you can't be dropped from coverage when you get sick or make an honest mistake on your application. You also can't be denied coverage or treatment for being sick or charged more for being sick. And you can't be charged more for being a woman either.
Okay.
Wow. Surprise, surprise. Who knew women were being discriminated in insurance? Anyway, the Obamacare con is insurance companies must cover sick people, and this increases the cost of everyone's insurance. The pro is small businesses can get tax credit for up to 50% of their employees' health insurance premium costs. Well, let's see. Ding, ding. One business person, people group, has a break. Come 2015, businesses with over the equivalent of 50 full-time employees must provide health insurance. In anticipation of this, some businesses have cut employee hours. How is that Obamacare's problem? How is it their fault?
It's not.
Seriously, I mean, I get it. You have to be economical. You have to be proactive. But why not cut some other thing? Maybe cut some vacation expense that you allow your employees. Why are you cutting their actual livelihood? Why would that be the thing you do?
Because you want this
package.
Why not cut out some of the extras until you get back on your feet? Because frankly,
package to sell, that's why.
Frankly, somebody getting a bonus vacation versus having health care so that they can enjoy a vacation, I think is the bigger prize here. Young adults on the pro side can stay on parents' plans until 26.82% of uninsured adults will qualify for free or low-cost insurance. The con for this is that young people tend to be healthy and not need coverage as often as older America. I don't know what that... Oh, well. Okay. We have three more to go. Medicare. Now, this one is important to me. Medicare is improved for seniors, including eliminating the donut hole, keeping rates down, and expanding free preventive services. The con, according to this, is some Medicare payments to doctors and hospitals have been limited. Medicare pays doctors more than any other type of coverage, and the rates have led to very complex problems that are driving the cost of health care up for everyone. It sounds to me like somebody needs to go back into the big old office and start regrouping the elements of this plan, of whatever plan it is that health insurance comes under before Obamacare was the big old bad wolf.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like whatever business proposal you put out there needs to be revamped. That's what it sounds like. Because you're forgetting the nation is in a debt, not because Obamacare came into play. Because, not for nothing, folks, Obama walked into an 18-year mess and was only given, at the time, 4 years to clean it up, now 8 years. On top of the new stuff he walked in on to take on. I don't care how much you don't like certain people or do whatever. Be fair. Think it through. Imagine if you were given a brand new managerial position in a store that had accounting problems and cosmetic repair problems and people problems, and it was going on for 8 years before you got there. And they're telling you that now that you're in control, you need to clean this up on top of doing your day-to-day and taking on the responsibilities that come with your new position now. And tell me how well you do. Number nine, all coverage starting after 2014 must include new preventative services and essential health care benefits. That is on the pro side. The con, according to this, is insurance premiums have increased due to insurers having to provide covered services. Yeah, okay. Next, Obamacare helps to curb the growth in health care spending. That's the pro. Obamacare focuses more on making sure people are covered than it does addressing the cost of care in the first place. So that one has a little some validity. So let me ask you two. Let me tell you the pro again, and then tell you the con. Obamacare helps to curb the growth in healthcare spending. That's the good thing. The bad thing is Obamacare focuses more on making sure that people are covered than it does on addressing the cost of healthcare in the first place, which kind of sounds like a double, you're saying the same thing and then disagreeing with yourself.
Yeah.
How can it focus on curbing the growth in healthcare spending, but then it doesn't address the cost of care in the first place? I don't know. So, Charles, what do you feel about that point?
Like, all health insurances have their pros and cons, you know? I mean, like you said, we're not going to pull the race card out, and I don't want to do that either. But they're going to pull the pros and cons of Obamacare PS1. Yeah, he's a Democrat. That's one. Yes, he is a man of color. And three, you know, is because nobody, none of the Republicans will ever pull something like that through. They know they're going to get their money from all these high-priced insurance companies that's out there. All these insurance companies that's out there right now are throwing the money at them just to keep them going. You know, if it wasn't for these health insurance companies throwing money at the president, we would have what we're going to get right now, which is Obamacare, you know? Nothing's being thrown at him right now. Nothing's being thrown at him. Watch. Watch when Obama gets out of office. Watch how fast Obamacare will be on air. They'll be complaining about that. That they lost one good thing. One good thing. Watch. People are all going to be complaining. They're complaining about it now, how it's not, how the pros and cons of this. But then, you know, US healthcare has pros and cons. You know, so does, there's another one. I forgot the name of the HIP. I don't like HIP. I'm not a HIP fan. You know, HIP is, has a lot of pros and cons. You know,
ooh,
so. Huh? What else?
I hate HIP.
I don't like HIP. I don't like HIP at all. You know, I don't know when it gets, I mean, it's just, I just don't like HIP. I had a bad experience with HIP. I will never do HIP again. There's other health insurance companies out there that has a lot of pros and cons, and, of course, they get nitpicked on the new one. That's a big thing. It's a new health insurance plan. Same thing with Medicaid, Medicare. They get a nitpick on it no matter what. Why? Because it's going to come out of our taxes. It's going to come out of the rich people's taxes. All right, good for them. Good. My tax something comes out of that says it's coming out of us, too. Every time we get a paycheck, the medical part is coming out as well. So what would it matter?
Right. I see this. I feel bad for those hard workers that are being taxed on their premiums, on the job insurance. Okay, I do. And I understand, you know, as a business owner, you know, you have to cut costs to make, you know, to meet laws, to meet business regulations, to make things work. But you got to start thinking about this. I think that if employees understood from you that certain things that may have been an extra, a bonus, okay, to their company have to be revamped or taken away or shortened or something in order for them to provide something else. If you sat with your employees and you had a meeting and you explained the situation, not just some impersonal memo, but actually have a day where you ask your company to come in and sit down so that the person who runs this thing can understand it and say it in a way that the employees understand it, I'm sure that employees would start to say, well, rather than them cut my salary, then we can't take 2 weeks vacation this year. We can only do one. I'm sure that every little penny in that respect, if you chip away a little bit at the things that are a bonus or a necessity, that I'm sure they would understand it. But I don't think that they would understand you actually cutting their life. What makes their life go round? And all you have now is a bunch of disgruntled employees, disgruntled Americans, people that are getting taxed for something that clearly is not supposed to be something that they're responsible for. If they get their taxes taken out of their paycheck every single pay cycle, why on earth isn't that enough? And if it comes down to companies who decided to open the business and make money from the community, they should be sitting up there being very willing to do what they have to do to give back to the community. You know, you have to start taking what you don't really need at this moment to make something that you need, as you said, Charles, happen. There are people that are going to get sick. Your employees are going to call out anyway if they're too sick to come into work, and then if they don't have insurance, can't be seen anyway.
I spoke to my doctor about it, and my doctor is for the
You are distant. You are distant, sir.
It's universal care is really what it is. It's not Obamacare. It's universal care. It's health care for everyone is what it is. And they're calling it Obamacare in order to scare people who may be questioning whether or not they like him as a president, you know. And that's what it's really – it's not Obamacare. It's universal care. It's health care for everyone. So do not get caught up in the word play that they're trying to throw at you. Read Black and Hispanic people. Ask your doctors what do they feel about it, and let them tell you what's going on and how it affects you. Half of the stuff that's going on doesn't even affect most Americans anyway, so you shouldn't even be concerned about it. I wish everyone would just read more and stop watching these programs that try to scare you into believing one side over the other, and that's really what it is. You know, everyone should have health care. Everyone is entitled to health care. Everyone. Everyone.
You could be walking around here, whether you choose to go to a doctor right away or not, you must have health care. You have to. You never know if you go away somewhere and then, you know, you wind up falling down and hurting something that you can't fix right away, or that
you're
alcohol.
You're going to spend the money anyway. I mean, you go to an emergency room, they're going to bill you.
True. Yeah.
So, I mean, the money is going to be spent regardless. So get your health care and be smart about what's going on and read up on what's being said. Read. This is the problem. Everyone is afraid to read.
Right. So, yeah, get to know it for yourself because, you know, the average person is pretty smart. You know, pretty smart. So I'm sure they can smell a witch's brew in the air. You know, they can smell BS. They can read what doesn't make sense. Some people can read between the lines and figure out when somebody is trying to pad their side of the story.
And think about it. If it doesn't work, you can go to do something else. If the Republicans are that fearful of this not working, let it fail if they believe it's going to fail to prove themselves right and then do something else, but at least give it an opportunity, you know? And I just think that we need to be more careful about how we...
Sweetie, I need you to speak up because I don't know. It's like fading out.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that the Republicans are trying to make everyone nervous and be smart, people. Trust your instincts. Look at what's happening with you and how it affects you, and be selfless with your, how it affects you. How does this affect you? And most of us will recognize that you need health care. So that's it.
Well, the bottom line is this bill overall allows something that has been a taboo subject for many people to finally become something that people can relate to, or at least be able to sit down and understand it on layman's terms. People are now able to feel like they're going to be able to get something that has been a problem obtaining from before. Now everybody has a chance to be able to walk in with a card that says I'm insured. Now anybody who gets sick doesn't have to sit there and go into a corner and hide and sanitize their curtains and lock their door until the flu season is over. Now you don't have to worry about standing in long lines because the free mobile clinic is standing on a cold corner somewhere.
Not just that, but there are medications that you aren't even entitled to because you're not insured as well. A lot of people don't recognize that too. So be insured, ladies and gentlemen. Get insurance because there are a lot of things. I went to the doctor for a knee problem before I got insurance. And I wanted a cortisone shot. Now, whether or not you believe in those things or not, I needed it. And I couldn't get it because I had no insurance. So there are a lot of things that you won't even have privilege to because you're not insured. So be smart, ladies and gentlemen. Get insured, and let's support our president.
Indeed. I think, like I said, in all of my years of having heard about it, read about it, involved with the politics, I have never seen one president that actually tackled the health care problem this way, where everybody was included and everybody had a piece of the pie and everybody was able to get a little something going. And health care problem affects everybody. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you get sick, you can die. You get sick, you can be maimed for life. Everybody needs a doctor. Everybody. Sports people. Athletes. Stars. Everybody needs it. So this is something that everybody should be entitled to. I remember that there were drops for the eyes that my children get allergic conjunctivitis. Okay? It's pink eye to allergies. Not the type that you can rub your eye and spread to someone, but it comes with allergies when you have severe allergies. And at one point, you used to be able to get a generic form of this particular allergy antibiotic that actually works. Okay? Now they're saying no. It's $114. There's no generic brand for it, and it's not covered by insurance. Or at least our insurance wouldn't cover it. I remember when Tylenol used to be in a generic form. Now that, they're referring lower-income people to go get over-the-counter. Asthma medicine that is needed was covered, but only to a restrictive degree. So these are the type of things that Obamacare is eliminating. And yes, I get it. To put out something this big and this worldwide, more money needs to come from somewhere, especially since Lord knows America is drying out its own bank account and shooting its own self in the foot. But in the same token, there are people who can do it. There are things that can be, you know, chipped into or dented into a little bit in order to make it work. Because in the end, it's a long-term investment that'll pay you back threefold or continuously pay you back. Your thoughts on the situation? Okay. We are dropped. So, Elaine, your thoughts on whether or not you think Obamacare is cutting into jobs?
Whether or not what?
Whether or not Obamacare is responsible for jobs being lost.
Oh, no. Definitely not. Obamacare is not responsible for any type of thing. Like I said, if Obamacare is responsible for all those, you know what? It's the same for all the other health insurances out there. It's the same for them, you know?
Like I said, it's not Obamacare that's causing the jobs. It's the employer's conscious decisions to go that route. Because rather than take it out of the Christmas party fund, they're taking it out of the employee's salaries.
Yeah.
And every plan, every new anything has a pro and a con. And I think that up to this point, this man has covered all possibilities. He's had a plan B for certain things. They've thought about it over and over again. It's been a debate for so long about whether or not it should go through. People have tried to stop it, but in the end, what's your plan B? What happens when somebody comes from Indonesia or some bug makes its way over to the United States, gets in our fruit baskets, our fruit cartons, and we go to the store and buy a peach that had some foreign bug in the crate that it came from, and it bit somebody or somebody got a disease because that bug infested the fruit that it didn't see. And now there's some unnamed whatever. That person's not insured, so they don't go to the doctor. Our teens are having more open and active sex. They're not thinking about being responsible. Because if all this free condoms and stuff was sinking into our children's head, we wouldn't have so many teenage mothers now.
That's right.
So obviously, the that's another high risk group of spreading things. There are so many misconstrued priorities that's being in place here. There's so many crazy things going on that nobody is stopping to look at the problem and the overall benefit because everybody's too busy trying to knock down that personal dislike or that vendetta that they have. Regardless of what you like or what you don't like, regardless of what your political party is, regardless of what your preference is, healthcare affects us all.
Yep.
And to have a certain group not be qualified for insurance leaves them open to be a risk of carrying or spreading something to you who are insured. Because just because you're insured doesn't mean you won't get it.
Exactly.
You don't know the ins and outs of everything that comes through here. It's the scientists and the lab people that have to read and research exactly how certain things work. The swine flu didn't even have a cure, but they had something that could control some symptoms. But what about those people that were already spreading it and died from it before anybody got to discover the root of how it works? Then you got Mayor Bloomberg saying, you know what? You don't stay home from school, but if you're feeling that sick, stay home from work and don't spread it. What about those people that can't afford to stay home from work? And because they're sick and they don't have insurance, they got to take their flu to work with them. I mean, is money that important to people, or keeping money that important to people, that when it's required to spend a little bit of it for something that's bigger and more reinvestive, it is not hard. Obamacare is not the problem for unemployment. Unemployment existed long before this bill came into play.
Oh, yeah, unemployment has been around even before Obama came in. So, I mean, I can you remember the conversation I had? What was it? On Facebook, like, a while ago. And I got a text by someone on Facebook, and they started bringing up Obama. If it wasn't because of him,
yes.
We wouldn't have
yes.
war. We wouldn't have so much unemployment. I said, are you serious?
That was long before he was even a candidate for presidency, so I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. I said, are you really serious? Do your research better than what you're doing right now. I mean, were you asleep during that whole time of what happened before Obama came in? They probably were.
Now, one of the things that you need to know, everyone, is that the only factors that can affect the premiums of new insurance plans starting in 2014 are this: your income, your age, tobacco use, family size, geography, and the type of plan that you intend to buy. Okay? And this applies to all new plans that sold through your state's health insurance marketplace. The amount of out-of-pocket costs that your health plan covers can affect your rate. Plans that cover more out-of-pocket costs like deductibles, co-insurance, and co-payments also have higher premiums. All right. In 2015, smokers can expect to pay up to 50% more than non-smokers for the same health plan. Okay, subsidies are being given before being charged a tobacco surcharge, meaning that smokers could find affordable insurance being unaffordable. So even under Obamacare, if you're a smoker, it still might affect you a little more so. Now, let's wipe out the myth of the Obamacare here. Obamacare does not mandate that you have to walk around being the enemy of the state with a microchip like a robot where people can scan your forehead and see inside your brain. It's none of that. This is not an episode of Charmed, people. So you're not required to put a chip in there to get health insurance under Obamacare's bill. The other thing is, he clearly states that if you already have health insurance and you like that health insurance, you are not required to change plans to whatever Obamacare covers.
Exactly.
So let's knock that myth out the way. So those of you that are trying to pad the suitcase, let's not pack those two little things, shall we? And Obamacare is the first step toward true health care reform. Okay? About 60% of all personal bankruptcies in the U.S. are related to medical bills. And that is a big number, people. More than half of the personal bankruptcies filed in the United States of America are due to medical bills. Other insurance reforms to curb the cost of premiums are already in effect. This includes a medical loss ratio policy and other accountability measures. Many more protections go into effect in 2014. So far, the average insurance premium has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Americans have saved 2.1, ready for this, billion due to the new Obamacare consumer protection provisions just in 2012 alone. So overall, the benefits outweigh the cons.
Yep.
And in the end, everybody gets the right to be seen, treated, and pay for a doctor. And those of you corporations that are beefing or you know, grumbling about this, you think about the fact that when you come back home from one of your big board meetings or your big long sail away cruises and you come back with something from Montezuma's Revenge and the person next to you was in the same island and got it, but you have insurance and they don't. Think about the fact that if they got it first and passed it to you, they're still walking around and not going to a doctor because they can't afford it. Think about the fact that whatever they throw in our ocean can pollute it and prep it and maybe one of those things that can pass in your water.
Mm-hmm.
Think about everything that could be a preventative measure or could be a treatment can be con- contaminated because the person who didn't have insurance and was a carrier, okay, spread this. Not that they intended to. They didn't walk up to you and cough on purpose, but they can't be treated. So if you look at all of this, whatever it is about the fact that it came from Obama, that it's for lower income people, it's not about anybody getting better than you or doing whatever. It's about the fact that those of us that can help are helping a bigger cause that even affects you. I've heard nothing so far that constitute this being a damage to the economy. I've heard nothing where Obamacare is the actual proprietor or catalyst for all of these problems that they are voicing and the concerns in their opposition. I have not heard it, not yet. I have not heard it. Anybody that has an opinion or an opposing viewpoint that doesn't agree with Obamacare, give me a call at 347-327-9967. Press 1 and you can join us right here on the panel. I'm going to go to break. I will be back in 4 minutes. Let's see. We will. Let's go out with Robin Thicke, Pharrell, and T.I. with Blurred Lines. Be back in 4 and a half.
Everybody get up.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are in the middle of discussing Obamacare. We had one caller who was with us and spoke very well from his point of view about us being informed. Lady Diamond is on the line with us, involved as well with the conversation. And those of you just joining us, the question that we're posing tonight is that despite all of the debates, all of the debates that you have heard, the oppositions, the concerns voiced about Obamacare, is the bill itself actually more beneficial, or are the concerns voiced actually something that makes the Obamacare bill more damaging? Now, my personal viewpoint is that I haven't heard anything that has been voiced as a concern from the opposing parties to be something that is a real sticking point about the bill itself. It's a bad thing that all of these mudslinging points are being thrown into this mix as a scare tactic or a persuasion from people actually being able to look and review the bill for themselves, that they would throw in things that are extreme out there. You're going to be forced to wear a microchip. You're going to be forced to lose your job. It's not Obamacare's position for employers to cut your salary. It is the corporation's decision to not go into the vacation fund, but to cut an employee instead.
Katie.
Yes.
I remember CHIP. I got it right, though. I got it right. Children's Health Insurance Program. Yeah, I was right. I was getting it. I was on the ball, you know?
Yeah, it is. And meanwhile, all of these things that have been in play for a while that have kind of been in limbo where they work, but they were flaws, Obamacare has covered most of the holes. And as a matter of fact, more people are going to benefit from it, which may lower the risk of things being spread around and going untreated.
Mm-hmm.
Which may help the health problem, at least, be one less problem we have to worry about. And just in case those of you who don't understand or don't really follow politics or the news, I know I hate looking at the news, it's depressing, but we do have to keep up with it because it affects things for our children and ourselves. But looking at it this way, if you want to throw unemployment as a concern, or jobs being cut, where was the job for quite some time now? Where were the jobs for quite some time? And when the new jobs open up, are Americans getting it? I've heard more heavy accent tech support people by phone calling from India at 9 o'clock at night, which is I don't know what time their time, telling you how to fix your computer or troubleshoot some software than I've ever heard of an American person sitting there doing this. Why? Because they're outsourcing our jobs. How many of the items that you buy even say made in the USA anymore? It's made in China. It's made in Japan. It's made in Malaysia. It's made every place else but the U.S. Because in the big quest and the big old journey to get the almighty dollar, everybody is negotiable. Everyone's negotiable. And this big, big, strong, powerful country is being slowly but surely put in debt and leaning and depending on people that used to come to us. Because we are taking away from our own economy, from watering and fertilizing our own gardens before we're allowing other people to do the same in theirs. Healthcare in America is a big factor. There are babies being born with diseases because their teenage moms indulged in something and didn't have the money or the guts or the maturity or the comprehension to go to a doctor. to know how what questions to ask, to know what symptoms to look for. Because while the government is giving them the right to go out there and have sex without parental permission or get treated for something their parents don't know about that could guide them in a certain way, they're out there having fun and then get scared when it comes down to the big stuff that comes with it. So they're harboring diseases that, you know, the symptoms make them too ashamed to go see anyone. So they're walking around with open sores in one place, with coughs in another, and no, they're not going to go to a doctor, so they're going to hide it out or try to stay away. Meanwhile, it's being spread every place else because something that could have been a treatment and stopped it from happening didn't happen because of the very things I just mentioned. And in addition, while they got the permission from the government to go have sex and get pregnant and, you know, have abortions and do whatever, they don't have permission from the government to be treated without a parent for the same problem. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
They have permission to indulge in the activities that make this happen, but they don't, without their parents, but they don't have permission to be treated for these things to stop the problem from happening with their, without their parents. How does that work, America? And even with health care, they still need a parent if they're a certain age. Obamacare is not the enemy. It's not the devil. It's not the reason why your premiums went up from your health, from your employer. Your employer is the reason why your health care went up. Obamacare was designed with a good backup plan for each infected person. But people who don't want to give up their money that they can, don't want to give up their luxuries, they don't want to give up their vacation time, their cruise money, their lavish gala money, they don't want to give up vacations, they don't want to give up certain things to make it work until it gets back on its own two feet. So their choice was to cut you. Their choice is to cut you, not the vacations, to cut you, your salary, your hours, your position even, your job. That was their choice. Because if they can't knock out the concept and the bill altogether, they're going to make it work for them. Never mind the fact that they're already cutting a job, one of the few still left in America, that you've probably been in for 15 years. They're going to cut that job because the next job coming along doesn't even belong to this country. So Obamacare is not the problem. Unemployment didn't happen when Obamacare happened. Loss of jobs or lack thereof didn't happen because Obama passed the bill to give people health care. It did not. It existed long before President Obama was a president elect or a presidential candidate.
That's right.
There was a mess here, people, long before Obama came into play to be the scapegoat. Homeless people are out there. Just because the mayor wanted to sweep them all up into some hidden corner that you don't see when you're in Penn Station or in the Port Authority doesn't mean they're not here. And homeless people carry tuberculosis when they're out there sleeping in the freezing cold, coughing and nowhere to go. Because either they can't go or when they get there, no one wants to treat them. So they may not be seen sleeping in the stations, but they've been there before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
They walked into the air, is already still there, waiting to land someplace else. Someone that's walking around with a big gash in their face, you don't know what they're infected with and if their blood is infectious. Somebody that has a rash that looks like it's oozing. It may not be poison ivy, people. And if they're not insured, they'll get turned away. If they're not insured, they can't afford certain things. because it wants to be adopted. They'll try to treat it themselves. Ours is something that tries to cover everybody and give everybody the chance to network for everybody, be a problem. And in the end, if there was a big old asteroid headed toward you, and you could do something to stop that asteroid from blasting you, would you give a damn then about whether or not your insurance or your vacation money was taken? If you had to pay money right then and there to stop that asteroid from hitting you and obliterating you on the spot, would you care then about saving pennies in your pocket, or would you give up every dime you have to buy whatever you want to sell it?
See, Katie, it's something, right? I mean, there is a documentary out there. I'm trying to look it up. And it was done about universal health care, you know, and I think it's before Obama came out. I think it's during the time when Obama came out. Actually, no, it's before Obama came out. And it's just the thought of universal health care, how it is in different parts of the country. And we're the only country throughout the whole world that has the most expensive health care system out there. Yeah, we have the most expensive health insurance out there. And, you know, for people to leave one country to come over here and live in the United States, it's like a huge, it's a problem. Health insurance is too expensive, no matter what it is, you know. Either Obamacare, any care out there is too expensive. Even Medicaid is too expensive for them. While if you and I leave right now and go to Britain, you know, go to Canada, go to any of those countries out there that they have universal health care, you don't have to pay a thing. We just go in, get out, you know, medication, get treated, and leave. Compared to here, we have to go show our insurance, make sure that we're covered, you know. There's something, if you're not covered, they'll take care of you no matter what. But you still have to wait hours and hours online, in the emergency room, or at the doctor's office just to be seen, you know. And I forgot the name of the documentary, and it talks about how it is, you know. And that's how Hillary Clinton came up online. I remember her trying to fight for universal health care for the United States. Yeah, and we know
it was called Hillary Care.
Hillary Care, right. And she did try the best she could, but then little by little you started to realize that she started to down it more until it was gone, you know. And, I mean, they bought her out. They bought every president that went out there to supposedly that try to put something in, they bought them out quick. These health insurance companies bought them out. There is cures out there, which we all know about, and we can't even get them. We can't get none of the cures out there. We can't get the proper medication. We have to, like, constantly take certain medication, which will either make us worse or will just help us out for a certain amount of time until a new medication comes out. You know?
Go ahead. Well, here's another thing that just what you just said with regard to medication that makes health care even more important. Now they passed a law that says that drug companies will not be liable for to be sued, will not be able to be sued. They're protected from being sued for new drugs that they create that have those bad side effects. You heard that, right? You know,
yes,
how they
heard that.
Something, yeah, they come out with some new miracle drug that treats depression or treats, bipolarity, or they do whatever. But then, in the end, at the commercial, it says side effects may include bleeding, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, you know, all this stuff. Sleepless nights, bad nightmares, you know, do not take while driving and ask your doctor if you're on this type of medication before you could take that one. Okay, now, here goes these people that says, well, overall, the benefits, you know, it's a little small risk that these things could happen. But then that person happens to be the one who takes it, and all the side effects happen. Now that person could have something that could spread around or could kill them in some way, but they can't go to the doctor because they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, overall, the bill works. and boo insurance companies that you can't be crooked and overclaim or overcharge something or deny a doctor. Doctors are needed too. And then on the other hand, doctors who are crooked won't be able to overcharge for a tongue depressor. Doctors won't be able to charge $1,000 because they took their little pointy light and looked in your child's ear. So either way, everything that makes the high risk, you know, preventive barriers to protect the companies with their money won't be a factor in the way you get treated. And I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
Because if I see of the common folk that are complaining, it's because their employers have imposed higher premiums. But of the people who are voicing the political concerns, it's those people that the higher tax imposition is going to affect. It's not the people who need the health care. It's not the people who need the health care.
Right.
It's a very sad situation that for one thing that affects everybody, people can't just gel together and stop trying to save things that don't matter. If you get sick and die, where's it going? Nobody seems to be able to think as people for a change when it comes up to some of these things. If you are going to have concerns, read it through and think it through from a human standpoint, not a politician, not a white person, not a black person, not a politician, not a Republican, not a liberal. Think of it as a human being that is affected by illness, that will need health care, that could be affected by somebody who's carrying on a train next to you that could pass it to you if they should happen to fall or vomit or sneeze or cough. Think about this from that point. Think about this particular issue on the table from that point of view. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, striped, rich, poor, the president, the bus boy. It doesn't matter. Everybody will get sick at some point, and anybody can be a carrier of something that can obliterate other people. Why should it matter? Those of you that have it, so what? You can't go for 3 weeks to Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
And for those businesses that are complaining, you don't cut your employees who's going to help you continue to make your money back. You cut the stuff that you give them, that you give yourselves as well as a bonus. You take a dent in that. You take a dent in that. You don't cut the employees. You don't kill a person's life and your business in the same boat with one silly move because you're trying to protect something that they'll make back if you keep the employees healthy and happy. You don't do that. And as the king of a country, okay, you don't sit there and give away the very thing that helped you flourish as an economy to people that used to count on you to help their economy. And then blame it on a bill that came 8 years after the problem existed. It's really, really sad that this is the situation. That everybody's personal restrictions in their thinking pretty much blows the overall necessity out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the window. Businesses, if you have to put out a little more money and you got to cut something, if you're a small business, whatever extras are in there, that yes, it might be a reward. For now, the economy needs people to make sacrifices so that we can re-flourish and become great America once again. Because we're not great. Not anymore. We're not mighty and powerful. Not anymore. The economy is dry. We are attacking ourselves like an HIV virus
okay. Close
to the immune system.
Okay, I got it. I found it. I found the video that I mentioned. It's
what
called Sicko. It's called Sicko. Sicko. It's called Sicko. If anybody gets a chance, go on YouTube. There's one called Sicko, and it's like it's a very long. There's a movie, it's a documentary, and it's just Michael Moore in it, and he explains about the universal health care and all the health care insurances. And really, I mean, Sicko, and if you've seen the movie already, you understand what I'm trying to get at. You know, but if you haven't, sit down, get a chance to watch this video and this different clippings, and it shows him traveling all over the world and explaining about universal health care and how the health care in the United States is. And I'm telling you, I mean, any health care system anybody is in, to me, it doesn't matter. Most of them are in for money, are in it for the money. You know, they'll give you the most generic brand medication out there, and it's like they will do anything just to keep you, you know, there. They're not there to cure you for what he's found. You know, I mean, take the opportunity and watch this show. It's called Sicko, and it will really blow your mind. And it's like I can't explain it more. You just have to watch it.
I will. What I think, you know, is that, you know, this man made an effort for something that everybody else before him knew existed and couldn't come up with anything that didn't appear too bad from their angle to hide whatever personal things they can't show as a, you know, an honest politician. I think that he came up with something that covered everybody and really doesn't take too much from one to do the other. And I think they don't like it. I think that the Republicans fighting so hard is to preserve what their business and financial assets are, not realizing that people dying off that could be your own employees and could be your best employees is going to be a bigger problem. You're not going to have that money to go around if your employees who are making the money are gone. Okay, everybody benefits from having health care. Everybody. If you can insure down to the most dirtiest bum, you can have health care. That means that they can go and get treated or something prevented that could spread over to you. And that is the deal. He's making it so that even the tiniest person can have access to health insurance. And the fact that he wants to make it a mandated law for everyone must have it, I don't see a problem with that either. I don't see what the overall problem is. I haven't heard or read not one concern that actually is that big, yeah, whoa, that will really affect the economy in a bad way. I have not seen one person give me that one big push argument. I haven't.
No, there's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to argue about, please. I mean, seriously, I mean, they cannot complain about the Obamacare. Look at the insurance that they have already. And where I work at right now, they changed the health insurance company. I know it went from one to another, and people are, like, complaining about it. First, they had healthcare. They had U.S. healthcare. Then from U.S. healthcare, they went to Oxford. And they're like, wait a minute. And they look at the coverage and everything, and they're like, wait a minute, this costs a lot more. It's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. One health insurance is going to be more expensive than the other. One health insurance is going to help a little bit more than the other. No, the bottom line is all health insurances that we both know have their pros and cons. And all of them will have something, you know, a bad thing on the table, like we both know about HIP. If you have HIP, God rest your soul. You know? Whoever's listening, if you have HIP, God rest your soul. Because, I mean, they are no help. They are no help whatsoever. In my opinion, I don't know. Katie, your opinion? I know they must be really bad.
I didn't like the fact that there were way too many, you know, exclusive to HIP places you had to go. You couldn't go outside of the network. You couldn't go here.
Yeah.
And usually the places that they had were like 700 miles away from where you live. I mean, it's crazy.
And the thing is, the bottom line is, all right, the chip thing, give me a break. Like, you know, they're going to put a chip in you. All right. Now everybody has to open their minds up and think for a moment, all right? Those health cards, the health insurance cards, the benefit card, any type of health insurance company out there, that chip is already in that card. So every time you go into your clinic, and the emergency room, They look at your card, they already log it in. You're in the system 100% of the time. They will find you in any hospital. You go without your insurance card, they will find you. Okay, you have Health Plus. Okay, you have Amerigroup. They will find you. So you can't say, oh yeah, they'll put a chip on you. The chip is already on you. Once you've got the health insurance, you know, information on you, once you get the benefit, they already got the chip on you. You get mailing all the time from these companies. Okay, in order for you to see a foot doctor, you need a referral for the foot doctor. In order for you to see a heart doctor, you have to see your primary care physician. In order for you to see a cardiologist. And even before that, if you see outside of the provider's network, you will be charged for it. So it doesn't even matter.
Well, now I want to bring up, we just got a new list of health care benefits from the Obamacare pro side. Now, these are the things that Obamacare also offers listeners. Obamacare gives your benefit of you don't have annual or lifetime limits as with most insurances. Children can stay on their parents' plans until they're 26. The Federal Drug Administration can approve more generic drugs, driving prices down and breaking the pharmaceutical monopolies and protections against discrimination breaking monopolies, they have protections against discrimination for gender disabilities and domestic abuse. Then you have the preventive and wellness services. Now more Americans can have access to preventive and wellness services with no out-of-pocket costs. Okay? There's consumer protections. Obama regulates the insurance referred to as the RACI review, which enacts the 80-20 rule that makes health insurance providers spend at least 80% of their income on health and marketing expenses and must be returned as rebates and being dropped from coverage for being sick or denied from a pre-existing condition. All of that is out of the window now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's cost assistance for middle class and small business people. Okay? Those under the 400% of the federal poverty level, roughly $88,000 for a family of four, could save up to 60% on their premiums with tax credit and subsidies on health insurance exchanges. Small businesses with less than 25 full-time employees have this advantage as well. The Medicaid expansion, there's improvements to Medicare. Now these elderly people can get their benefits and get their medication and whatever additional benefits they get from, like, those elderly exclusive assistance people like AARP, those things, it's like now your dollar is stretched again. You know,
yep.
Now the benefits can cover more for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things, and then they have an oversight committee on Obamacare, people that's going to make sure that Obamacare is working correctly. Okay?
I hear a lot of pros from what you're telling me.
Right, well, everything I'm reading, and the cons, it does a lot, right? It has some consequences for specific groups of Americans. It does hurt a small percentage of small businesses. It has a negative effect on insurance premiums and has made some reforms that hurt medical industries and their workers. Well, let's see. I believe that if you're overpricing in the first place, knowing that you're unfairly charging someone, yeah, this will definitely mess with you.
Of course.
I think if you're an insurance company that know darn well you're being unfair in practices and that you've been getting extra money with your loopholes and your technicals and you're overcharging a person that's poor and denying them service because you know you can afford to pay for that surgery, that open heart surgery that a 4-year-old needs or that oxygen that an 80-year-old needs. And I think that if you're finding all these technical policy loopholes and you're getting money and saving money while you're denying services, yeah, this will probably affect you too. I have yet to see how it affects the nation in a negative manner. Those of us that
think
it's a bad thing to do, and there's always been higher consequences on the smoker in the first place. It always has been. That's because so many things come from smoking, and those of us that do it know these things, but you're still not being denied actual treatment or insurance. So I have yet to hear any one concern come forth as that big, ooh. Then they have, now they want to come with a kind about religious beliefs. There's an argument, some argue that Obamacare funding women's health services like contraception. There are exceptions built in the law, into the law to refuse to provide these services to women based on religious grounds, but this has nonetheless been causing issues on the ground in the political arena and in the courts. Well, I'm sorry.
But it's enough, it's, all right, for contraception and whatever, you know, for stuff like that, for women's health, isn't that the woman's decision to either get contraception or not due to their religious beliefs, whatever? Isn't it their decision, not the insurance's decision? You know what I mean?
Now,
so I don't know why they're making a big deal about, oh, it affects the woman's religion. Not unless it's her decision to get it.
I don't think religion takes a play in making a decision about Obamacare one way or the other, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, I'm going to tell you why. A, this country was founded on the freedom to practice your religion, your choice, the choice that you do. Whatever your faith is, whatever the rules of your faith are, we are free to practice it as we see fit. That means you have the choice, if you get health care, not to purchase contraception if you are a wife of a religion that doesn't support it. If you are Catholic and contraception is a way. So what does Obamacare have to do with that?
Exactly. It makes no sense. Why blame it on Obamacare over your religion?
No. That right there is personal conviction between you and the God you serve. Because if you know that your religion prohibits certain things, then you shouldn't be indulging in it if your faith says not to. That is not between you and Obama. I am a religious Christian myself. Okay? But I could not vote against something that benefits the world if... And know that I have the option to opt out of something that's against my belief. This is a country of choice. Okay? The fact is that he does not want you to have no health care because it could spread certain things out there that everybody can be affected by. So how does religion have anything to do? It's another suitcase filler. Okay? It's a suitcase filler, ladies and gentlemen. That's not a fair point to put there. It's not a fair point. Okay. Rising premiums. Well, that is not so much on just an insurance company. That is on small business owners and insurance companies doing the same. They're still getting paid, so I don't see why they need to raise people's whatever. They are still doing that. That's one. So there's still a point of for the business owners, them raising premiums to their employees or cutting hours or firing an employee to save hours. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's not Obamacare. That's corporate care. That's for not buying insurance. Well, that might be a problem, but in the same token, I think that you got plenty enough time for you to know that you have to go out there and get insurance at some point. There's something for everyone, pretty much. And you know what? That might help people stay in order, and guess what? It'll refund the country. Because $95 versus a $650 emergency room visit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, taxes of the 2%. The top 2% of businesses and individuals in the United States will pay some extra taxes. You could argue that those that are closer to the 3% will get hit the hardest because they have the least extra cash to stay in the game, so it hurts them more. However, the most vocal opponents and the ones who fund the anti-Obamacare campaigns are the big businesses who don't like regulation, entitlement program, or any tax or program that affects their bottom line. Bingo. Obamacare hurts Medicare. Obamacare cut $716 billion from Medicare and reinvest the money back into the program. Since there is such a big overhaul, Obamacare set up a committee and oversee spending and effectiveness. Due to the sheer volume of reforms, some of them, even though well-intentioned, are sure to have unintended consequences and need adjustments. But the overall benefit to what Medicare will now be able to do, while they get it together, will still benefit the elderly more now than they have been, because the threat to take away their Social Security was worse than this. So I'm still not seeing, even though that one might be a little bit more of something that can stay in the puzzle and on the table for looking at. Now, I do have a caller on the line. Let me bring them in. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
You know, this whole idea about taxing Cadillac plans is totally ridiculous.
Okay.
And I'm floored the defunding of this program, and they need to straighten this out. Why would you tax what they call, quote-unquote, a Cadillac plan? My employees forego putting money on their check, and it goes to their health and welfare benefits.
Mm-hmm.
They average about $420 a month. I'm sorry, a week paying toward their health and welfare, which covers everything. No limits. And it's been going on for eons.
Okay.
So why this man wants to tax our Cadillac plan is beyond me.
Okay.
And it's wrong.
I can see your point, sir. I can. So I ask you this. Okay, you know now you're a business owner, correct?
Correct.
Okay, well, the economy has been in hell for a while now, right? And you know why? Most of our jobs are not even being given first chance to Americans. It's been given away. So our economy's gone down and the money's gone bad and everything. But let me ask you.
That's because things here in America cost too much.
Well, why is that? Because they're outsourcing everything as it stands right now, and instead of them refertilizing our own backyard, they're giving away every new opportunity to people that once depended on us. Think about it.
Well, not necessarily.
I've seen it.
They say that businesses are going elsewhere to set up shops where people are paid a dollar. Well, they're not paid a dollar a day. But here's the thing. The cost of living in other countries is tremendously less than what it is in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Things cost too much. And I'm sorry, if a company can have things made elsewhere with just as good a quality and cheaper, should they not have a right to do so?
Okay, but then they bring it back here, and the quality of these products are defective, and they know it. And then the American children and families and households are affected by it. We're dying from strollers going bad and gates not working and cars not acting right. And meanwhile, while that's happening, we're also not having an economic re-flourishing because we're not allowed to do it because it's going
well,
out.
It's nothing keeping you from doing it. That's not true. Would you like to go back? Would you like to go to paying $25 for a T-shirt? Look at calculators. The first calculator I bought cost over $400. Now you can get calculators for two for $20 that does more functions than the ones that they were selling when they were selling for $350 and $400. So things are more quality-wise, and they're cheaper because of what's coming from other countries.
Well, not everything is quality-wise, sis. I mean, myself, I work in a fashion showroom, right? And, yes, I mean, I do agree about the quality part, but, I mean, no, about the amount that we're getting, but the quality isn't as good as it was before. Because I could take, for example, like a $25 shirt that you just mentioned, it's not the same quality as the shirt that you buy for $22, which will last a lot longer than a $25 shirt. The materials that we use today, because I work in a fashion showroom, the materials that we use today is horrible. It's horrible. It wouldn't even last as long as the clothing that we had before. There was a brand called Oshkosh for kids. That was a very good brand, and it's still a good brand to this day. It will last for a long time, to the point that when you go to, now people are buying from Children's Place, and the quality of their brands are terrible. You know, so I'm like, speaking of quality wise, it's not as good.
But what it cost me to buy a pack of briefs, a box of shorts, a jockey, rather than wash them, I can throw them away and buy a whole new pack because they're so cheap. It's cheaper to throw them away than to wash them. Washing, drying, detergent, and bleach is more expensive than throwing the, what you wear on your 10-pack for less than $15. Some places $12. That's $1.20 a piece. You cannot wash, dry, use detergent on an article that cheap.
Right. I'm sorry. I think it's cheaper washing clothes so I can reuse it as many times as I want than to throw clothes away and buy a new pair of underwear and then throw them away and keep on buying. I could just rewash them and wear them for like a whole year because I washed them so many times. I save more money in my pocket, you know? It's like switching my car insurance, you know? It's like I went from Affleck to Geico. I'm sorry, I don't laugh at that one. I'm sorry.
Well, I will say something. There are certain things, sir, I agree with you on. Certain things, I'll be an economic shopper, okay? I will. If like, for example, I don't even think they sell this product anymore, but Noxzema, the facial cream that used to be, you know, around, okay, there are certain things that I feel that a generic version of it is a lot better, okay, because it does the same thing. It has the same amount of whatever makes the brand name whatever. I'm not speaking on that. I'm speaking on this. You're a business owner, so let's say you have to pay about $5 more for chairs that your employees sit on, okay? And these chairs can take a bang. They could avoid being tipped over if they hit an obstacle. Now here comes a company telling you can get the same looking chairs, and they're $5 a chair cheaper. But guess what? The first week you bought it, three of your employees had an accident because one fell backward and hit their head on the desk. So that $5.
Well, they shouldn't have been leaning back in the chair like we see them do. You know, another thing, too, robotics is, even in China, robotics are taking the place of manual labor. The robots don't get sick. They don't get pregnant. They don't trip and fall and all of those things, catch a cold. And, you know, have to be.
It wouldn't even be a problem.
Yeah, Obama robots are taking the place of human beings all over, every place. So that is going to be another, I mean, technology will continue to kill jobs. The way children are taught, public schools are very inefficient, very, very inefficient. We need to move up into the 21st century of education. Parents deserve choice. They shouldn't be tied into one system like the public schools, where children are used as a commodity anyway. In Japan, they use robots to teach the class.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I would want a robot teaching my child. It's bad enough that spell check is taking over the ability for people to think for themselves. And they're still not actually getting quality spell check because all spell check does is tell you if something was spelled wrong. It doesn't tell you that you used that correctly spelled word in a sentence correctly.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm going to let you guys continue with your show, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hello, so are you still with us?
Me?
No. Okay. Well,
I know, I'm still here.
He had a good point. No, I was talking about
he
the
had a good point in one thing, but the part about the part got me.
I want to thank him for calling in and giving us his viewpoint.
Yeah,
very
I like
much.
Your
very much on that. I do, I'm sorry, I do believe, you know, everybody's entitled. That's why I said call in.
Yeah.
What is it you want to say? We do have 9 minutes, so if anybody else wants to come in and make a call, go right ahead. I do appreciate you listening, sir, wherever you call in from. And like I said, thank you again. Yes, there are, like with anything, there are pros and there are cons. There are pros and there are cons. And I'm sorry, but I personally am not a person that would approve of a robot teaching my child or running my business.
No.
And people tend to forget that technology still needs human input.
Yep.
Unless we're going to be wind up being a country that's a real-life movie, like, you know, those space science fiction shows where technology took over the world and robots were killing off humans. I mean, you still need human beings, period.
There we go.
I do believe, like I said, sometimes some things are not worth negotiating. You don't negotiate certain qualities. I wouldn't want to go into a car that if I turn the key, the wheels will fall off while I'm on the highway because it was $10 cheaper per part.
See, now, that's what I was trying to understand, you know. I understand, okay. Now, I was trying to, like, compare the part where he said about, I know, I'm still on about the underwear, about cheaper underwear. Now I'm going by the cheaper health insurance, you know what I mean? So I'm going to go back to that part because we were talking about health insurance. And those companies that they switch one plan to another and it's like, okay, it's cheaper, but we get more. Yeah, it's cheaper, you do get more, but then are the benefits the same as the last one and is it as good? And most of the time it's not. It's less. To them it's more. The cheaper it is, the more we get. Yeah, the cheaper it is, the more you have to work for just to get to one location to another, like we agreed on about hips. You know? So, I mean,
I agree with him to a point, yes. Some things, you know, you shouldn't have to take one thing from another. But, like I said, the economy is dried up now, mostly because we have not been able to refund ourselves. The money has not been there to allow entrepreneurs to open businesses. Businesses that are already established and okay seem to be covered, whereas other places that need the growth, it's not happening. It's plenty of extra hoops to jump through. But I have a question. If you owned a house and there was a leak in the roof, and the leak has been going on for a while now. And it's more than just the hole where the leak is coming from because the water has been damaging the foundation and the roof.
Part of
the
material, yeah.
Right. Now, you go and you get a contractor that comes and tells you that this entire panel of the roof needs to be replaced. Or we can put a patch job in to stop the leak for now, but eventually that patch job is going to break down and it's going to be worse. Would you keep spending money to keep patching it up, or would you get the one job done all the time and make sure it lasts?
Right.
That's a problem. It's not just about, you know, the one big time that it's taken, that money is being taken out. It's about the fact that you might have to pay more for that one good investment that pays you back because it's lasting, it's durable. It's reinventing, it's re-promote, it's reproducing. It's re-yielding. It's giving you more productivity by being steady than it is for you to keep on patching a new hole each and every time.
That's right.
And I just don't see robots being able to take over this world, and this is the mighty country. Yes, I can understand. There are a lot of things. I myself would sit there, if I look at Noxzema and I look at a brand called Landers, and they both have 1% camphor and 3% glycerin, and they do the exact same thing, I would go, of course, and spend a little less money if I could. But there are some you cannot negotiate. And healthcare is one of them.
That's right. Healthcare, you cannot negotiate at all. It's win or lose. With healthcare, it's win or lose.
Healthcare is one of them. Your health, it doesn't matter if you have bottom lines, three funds, no money at all. If you get sick with something that could have been treated and didn't get treated because insurance was a problem, none of that's going to matter. You can't take it with you. We're down to our last 4 minutes, so give your final thoughts, Lady Diamond.
Well, my final thought is that, yes, Obamacare did not put us in default. and from lack of jobs or anything like that. Obamacare didn't do that. It happened years before that. And it came, and it, I mean, it basically happened at the start of the Bush regime. And not that many people want to admit that or want to say anything about it, but it's true. It happened during that time. And Obamacare is going to be like any other health insurance. And I hate to say it, that by the time Obama's out of office, and his term is going to be done soon, Obamacare will be gone. Republicans will take over, and they will get rid of Obamacare, which is bad enough. And then for those who really, really need the insurance, and they start to see that it starts to work with them, they're going to end up begging for mercy, because they're going to end up with a health insurance that's going to not only hurt them, but it's going to hurt their pockets as well. Either way, our pockets are getting hurt. And nobody seems to realize that. They just rather point the finger at one, and I see, okay, HIP, Oxford, U.S. Healthcare are also putting holes in our pockets as well. It's not only Obamacare.
Thank you very much. Well, I say that I haven't heard anything yet that's the big woof overall concern to knock the Obamacare, not give it a try. I don't hear it. I think that the benefits and the pros far outweigh the cons. I think that everybody should be entitled to health care because America itself, people themselves deserve a shot at having prevention in place or treatments in place to avoid spreading to other people. I think that these corporations should start looking at trying to understand that we're trying to reestablish the economy, and businesses and people who can't afford it may have to go into things that are not so much a necessity at this moment to make this particular thing work. I think so. I believe that. And everybody's had to sacrifice, even that weren't rich. The poor have been suffering for quite some time. The lower income that can't seem to get ahead has been suffering for quite some time. But this is not about class, race. It's not about rich or poor. Health care and illnesses affect everybody. And if there are some people out there who are carriers or spreaders of something because they simply don't have the money or the coverage to see a doctor to stop it, everybody is going to get affected, no matter how high a bush you live in, no matter how many iron fences or electronic alarms you have around your garage, no matter how many laser fences. If you are going to walk out into the world, chances are you're going to get hit with the disease. So this needs to be given a shot to see how it works and to give Americans and everybody around us a chance. So until tomorrow night at 8:30, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and thank you and God bless. Good night.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.